This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, December 17th. Nice to have you along. We'll be talking later this hour to Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser about the Wisconsin Farmers Union annual state convention that was held this past weekend. Chris Marion from Wisconsin Women in Conservation will be joining us as well to talk about some rural issues for us. We'll talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO coming up later as well. And I'm going to have one question for you that you can choose to answer by phone or text if you like. It's about a news report that there are some far-right groups that are looking to start a constitutional convention, something that hasn't happened since the original one in the 1700s. Monkeying around with the Constitution maybe isn't the most advised idea, but we're going to ask you to play a little what if. What if you could change the Constitution in some way? Would you do something with the First Amendment to maybe stop equating money with free speech and politics? Would you do something with the Second Amendment? What else might you add or subtract? The Electoral College comes to mind. So we'll talk about that this hour as well. If you missed the last hour, it's where we talked a bit more about the tragic school shooting in Madison yesterday. And a reminder that there is never a wrong time to mention that we have this epidemic of school shootings because of the cowardice of politicians who will not listen to their own constituents who want some basic gun safety measures put in place. So to listen back to last hour, head over to civicmedia.us, head to the show's page, and learn more there about how to listen to any past episode of talk shows around the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's see. Let's do the text to win contest right now from the grown-up gift list, and then we'll get to Brittany Merlot and the forecast. Get on that Civic Media app, go to one of the stations, use the text button at the bottom of your screen, and send the keyword for this hour by the end of this hour for your chance to win in this statewide contest where all the Civic Media stations are participating. And for this hour, the prize is an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then you'll also be in the running for 8 grand prizes off the grown-up gift list. Things like a snowblower, a robot vacuum, espresso machine, luggage set, and more. So here we go. And once again, it's a bit of a spelling challenge. So I'll bring in Greg Bach and Brittany Merlot just to make sure I get this right. This hour's keyword is carol. Like Christmas carol, but it says here the proper spelling for this hour is C-A-R-O-L. Now, some of you might be tempted to put an E at the end of that if you're talking about a carol, but no. This hour's word, carol, C-A-R-O-L. How'd I do?
You did great.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Neither one of you have this look of horror like, no.
Because honestly, for a moment, I'm like, wait a minute. Is Christmas Carol the song with an E? And I just looked it up. It's without an E as well. So I'm like, did we misspell it?
No.
Is Brittany going to be mad at us?
There's that temptation, you know? So what is exactly a carol then when it's spelled that way?
I think that's just a variation on the name for a person.
Okay. And not by the way, let's not do that with you know, choral like a choir or coral like in the ocean. Let's stick to carol, people. C-A-R-O-L. He quickly adds.
All right, coach.
I just Brittany's here with us.
I am.
Brittany's here. And
Brittany's here. And Tony puts a very convoluted spelling up on YouTube and goes, nailed it.
Oh, that's awesome. He's got all the vowels in there.
Yep. Let's see. From Rob, good morning. From Tigerton, it's cloudy and windy and 30 degrees with a wind chill of 20, a west wind at 15. We talked about the early days of the Fox TV network. He talked about The Simpsons and Married with Children. It was also 31 years ago that Fox took over the NFL's NFC games from CBS after 38 years.
Wow.
That was the big deal. That was monster news when this upstart network was able to take away the NFL from CBS. And he also says, the song you played at the beginning of your last segment, I remember CBS used that song for their credit roll at the end of the 1989 NBA Finals when the Detroit Pistons swept the LA Lakers. And he adds in conclusion, Brittany has a gift for us. Thursday snow. Yay.
I do.
Some people see Thursday snow as a gift, like Rob.
Not
something that we're just absolutely going to despise.
Rob and I have different definitions of the word gift.
You know, that gift brings Rob some money, right?
So
those plow truck
gift.
Drivers, they
That's
need
true.
That.
Did you again wake up? What does that coffee mug there say?
Darn it. Woke up sexy as hell again.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Oh, shoot. Darn.
Yep. So, Brittany, as our official winter queen of the Civic Media Radio Network,
thanks.
Why don't you lead into what we've got today and take us into that Thursday snow?
My good news. Yes. Okay. So today, obviously, a little bit cooler than we've been. Temperatures in those low to mid 30s throughout the state. It's going to be a cloudy one and a breezy one, like Robin mentioned. And we are looking at some light snow moving in, especially into southern parts of the state along that state line this evening. So the snow's going to move in today around 4 o'clock into our western areas, kind of moving into central parts of the state around 6, and then off to the eastern side around 8 o'clock this evening. We're looking at about 1 to 2 inches of snowfall down south and towards Madison, potentially making its way towards Milwaukee, but up north we're looking at more of a trace to a half an inch today. So then tomorrow, temperatures start to fall. We fall into those 20s to even teens. And Thursday is when that system does hit. We are looking at our first widespread snowstorm across the state, where a good chunk of us are going to see 3 to 5 inches accumulate. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited for it. That'll be all day Thursday in the afternoon, into the evening, and winding down by Friday morning.
She's so happy about this. Listen to the joy as she discusses this. And we'll ask her about that joy when she's reporting, you know, from a ditch after sliding off the road because
Whoa.
It's snowing.
I've been there.
I know. We've all. Yes,
you're telling me that Jeeps can't handle the snow? What?
Right.
They can handle the snow. It's, you know, the ice, the slick stuff that will do it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I thought I had another note for you on the snow. Alicia talks about driving from Greenville to Marinette on Thursday. So Ooh. She would very much like to not
leave
have,
early.
You know, yeah, leave early. That's mm-hmm. that's really the right way to go about that. The other thing I wanted to ask about is something I talked about that Chris was it Christina or Sharita brought up last hour, the We Energies cookbook,
Ooh.
And
yes.
what a popular thing that is, which I had no idea about being over here in the western part of the state. On the text line from Lynn in Oconomowoc, Pat, I have my grandmother's gas company cookie books. And a young man named Luke Mathers texts in that says, my mom collects the We Energies cookie books each year with extras for me and my siblings. And I had to look it up. I went over to the We Energies, which a lot of us used to know as Wisconsin Electric before it became We Energies. And yes, it's not a cookbook. It's a cookie book. The first cookie book was published in 1928.
Wow.
So nearly 100 years. And apparently this is a big deal.
I didn't know about it either.
It is very much a big deal. Yeah, people line up for this cookie book. I'd never heard of it either until last year. I should say I didn't know the significance of it until last year. And it inspired us to have our first ever cookie, what do they call it? Not cookie
exchange.
Cookie exchange. Yep, we're going to have another one next Tuesday on Matt and Air on Air.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then one more thing. The winter solstice arrives Saturday morning. Right, Brittany?
Yes, it does. It's on its way.
So she's excited about the snow coming and the days finally getting longer.
Yes.
Double.
a very nice bonus. All right. Thank you, Brittany, so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. 7:15 now is the time. And in case you did miss it, and Civic Media will keep you updated throughout the course of the day on the school shooting in Madison yesterday, that it was a 15-year-old student, a young woman who opened fire inside a study hall, killing a teacher and a teenager. Two other teenagers had life-threatening injuries when they were brought to the hospital. A couple of other folks were wounded and later released from the hospital. The shooter was found with a self-inflicted gunshot wound and died en route to the hospital. And as we mentioned, again, President Biden calling on Congress to again pass universal background checks, a national red flag law, and certain other gun safety measures, which enjoy isn't the right word, but I mean few issues enjoy the kind of approval that gun safety does. Basic things, 80% to 90% approval out there. And yet our politicians continue to sit on their hands with every one of these tragedies that unfolds. All right, well, here's the part I wanted to get some of your input on, and then we'll have Chris Marion and Hans Breitenmoser on at 7:30. But from now till then, I wanted to ask about a story that caught my eye in the New York Times about the push for a constitutional convention. The New York Times story says, as Republicans prepare to take control of Congress and the White House, there is a scenario that some are considering a historic relic, a constitutional convention. It's allowed because of a simple line in the Constitution that allows Congress to convene a rewrite session if two-thirds of state legislatures have called for one. The option has never been used. But if you go back over a century to all the various times when state legislatures said there should be a constitutional amendment for a host of reasons, everything from, you know, election reform to balanced budgets to you name it, there are some Republicans who say that there are now enough states cumulatively to call a constitutional convention. And, you know, just imagine the chaos that ensues when you look at what people would try to put into the Constitution that could go from one extreme to the other. But it still raises the question of what would you do if you could be part of a constitutional convention and try to sway the delegates in there to say, look, we are still, you know, one country, but we definitely have to fix some things that are in our Constitution. It's not perfect. And so here's what I would do. So what kinds of things would you like that to be? Send us a text through a text line, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can email as well, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or put something in the comment sections on Facebook and YouTube. It's Tuesday morning. This is Up North News Radio from the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You missed it in today's history lesson. It was on this day in 2015. Adele had the number one album with 25. You can catch our history lesson every weekday morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Okay, we were asking about what changes would you make to the Constitution if you could. There are plenty of serious proposals that are out there. Some would say, let's see, who had banning political contributions was one of them that's listed here. Let's see. I wanted to give the right credit to the right person. A new fairness doctrine for modern day media, writes Dana in La Crosse on the text line, as well as banning political contributions. Tony up in Ashland says, you know, you could ban political parties, or you could also, on the lighter side, mandate quick trips nationwide. Tony, I could see myself signing on to that one. Let's see. There's also we had a few different folks who wanted to talk about, like Alicia did here, with the Second Amendment. Let's get very specific on the Second Amendment. She also talks about equal rights for all and enshrine America as an immigrant nation, saying that this is a place where immigrants are welcome. And let's do some immigration reform while we're at it. So like I said, there could also be, in my mind, one of the first things that I would do would be the one that is enshrined in a Supreme Court decision, not Citizens United. It's one that actually predates that. It's called Buckley v. Valeo. And the Buckley decision is the one where it was post-Watergate, 1970s. The court was actually under liberal control, so this is not a conservative thing. The liberal justices at the time said that money equals free speech. And so you have to be very careful with how you restrict somebody's free speech, including the money that they spend on campaigns. Now, that may have made some sense back then when there were the first campaign contribution restrictions in the wake of the Watergate scandal. But when you see what politicians have done with removing pretty much all the limits, especially on corporate contributions, you see now how the Buckley decision is just not workable for a working democracy. And it needs to be made clear in light of the Buckley decision and the Citizens United decision that we need some clarification on the First Amendment on what is free speech, what is free political speech, and what is a billionaire trying to buy an election. On the Second Amendment, there are folks who would like to specify that whole part about a well-organized militia is the one that shall not have its rights infringed, the right to keep and bear arms. How do you define that in terms of self-defense at home and things like that? That could certainly be worked on. Let's see. We mentioned the Fairness Doctrine. We've got Lynn in Oconomowoc saying, let's make sure that convicted felons cannot serve as president, vice president, senator, congressman, cabinet secretary, and so forth. Yeah, imagine if we'd had a role like that. We'd have a very different inauguration day coming up. And Tony adds as well, less consolidated power and more coalitions, which I admit it would be tough to mandate that there had to be more than two political parties in the country, but I think that's also, by the way, a function of money, and that if you can somehow get the big money out of politics, you could have more coalitions. I know that, you know, I've lived in another country for a time that did not have political parties so much as they had these coalitions, and they called them teams. And during one cycle, you know, folks might be on one team or the other, but then based on how that government did, you know, they might attract some members, they might lose some members, and the teams look completely different the next election around. I don't know if that would happen here organically. I just know it did, you know, when during my time living in the Cayman Islands, and I know that other countries have done that, have seen that phenomena as well. Let's see. Tom and Jackson on the text line says the presidential election should be a holiday so that all can vote. Fantastic idea, one I've been talking about for years. I actually did not bring it up much, if at all, this year because it seemed like there were so many other things to talk about. But yeah, making Election Day a holiday, especially for the crowd that says Election Day should only be one day. Well, first off, I don't think that's ever going to be workable because you'll always have some people working on Election Day. And you'll always have a need for people who are confined, who have other family obligations. So I don't think you can restrict it to one day, but you can certainly do more to make voting easier, make voting more convenient for eligible voters, and making Election Day a holiday is certainly a good first step. And while we're at it, does it have to be in early November? Could we come up with something else there? And let's also close that period between the election and Inauguration Day, because that is a relic of the, you know, the horse and buggy era, where it took a while for the winning, you know, president-elect to make their way to Washington, D.C. to be sworn in. We've moved it from March 4th to January 20th. One would argue you could probably squeeze that window just a little bit more because you also get rid of the prospect of lame duck sessions in Congress and in state legislatures where mischief happens, as we saw in the Wisconsin legislature in 2018, as we told you about last week for North Carolina as well. And then what, Greg, as well, would you do in terms of amendments to try to keep things from being, shall we say, static?
I would make it that there should be an amendment in the Constitution that every given, whether it's 10, 15, 20 years, that the Constitution must be reviewed and revised to keep up with the times. That way we also eliminate the idea of originalist judges. You move with the times like the document should.
That is a perfect idea because as soon as you mentioned originalism, which I just think is completely anathema to living in a modern society, yeah, that you have these opportunities where you have to review this so that somebody at some point can go, hey, we wrote that for muskets,
yeah,
you know, not for, you know, high capacity magazine clips or anything like that. So, yeah. Yes. I think that's a great idea. So keep thinking about those. You can always email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and we will look toward sharing some more of your ideas on how a functional constitutional convention could potentially work someday. All right. Our guests coming up next, Hans Breitenmoser and Chris Marion, and we'll talk about the Wisconsin Farmers Union Convention this past week. Next, you're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. Won't you come on home? And baby, I don't blame you for looking me up and down across this room. I'm drunk and I'm ready to leave. And you look like you love.
There's a story behind this song, the current number one song on the country charts. It's Ella Langley and Riley Green, You Look Like You Love Me. The story on it is that for whatever reason, the country charts had gone for 51 weeks without a woman in the number one spot atop the country chart. It was the second longest streak without a woman at the top of the Billboard country chart since it launched in 1990. And as written in Vulture magazine, it saves country radio the embarrassment of going a full year without a woman having the genre's most listened to song. The article also goes on to say that it's also the first time a woman's had a number one song about something about having fun since Miranda Lambert and Elle King's Drunk and I Don't Want to Go Home, that everything else between then and now has been dramatic, sentimental, emotional. The whole thing is a cry for country radio to embrace more songs about women having fun. But that's the number one song atop the country charts this week. Hans Breitenmoser is with us now, as well as Chris Marion from Wisconsin Women in Conservation. Chris and Hans, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat.
Morning.
Nice to have you here. First off, a confession by the host. Normally, when booking a guest, the host sends this email to all the guests saying, here's the link to click on. It uses a program that works well with Chrome, Firefox, Edge, Opera, but unfortunately not Safari. I did not send this note to Chris Marion, who clearly is a Safari aficionado. Thank you for downloading Chrome very quickly so that you could join us today, Chris.
No problem. Hooray for rural internet. It came through for me today.
There, you see? That's right. In the pre-Evers, you know, Biden days, there would not be this kind of rural broadband access that's out there. So we're gonna talk a little bit about the group Wisconsin Women in Conservation. Excuse me. Let's start, though, with Hans. The Wisconsin Farmers Union Convention was held recently. Tell us your thoughts on it.
Well, it was a good time by all. And now my dog's freaking out again. Yeah, so we spent the weekend at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells, as we do every year. We got together and plowed through lots of resolutions that the county's put forth, which guides our staff and our leadership in terms of what they're going to be focused on for the next year within the state legislature. Regarding ag policy, rural policy, but more broadly, all sorts of policy. Wisconsin Farmers Union members have, opinions on all sorts of things. And so this is the time of the year where we get together and we debate and we argue. And at the end of it, we come away with our big tent and our policy positions.
And a lot of that, of course, is geared toward the Wisconsin legislature, but certainly toward what's happening at the national level, where, again, a farm bill is more than a year overdue. And that's what's going to lead us into Chris here in a second, Hans, because, yeah, there's talk about, agriculture, commodity, price supports, exports, market power, SNAP nutrition programs, and all of that. But it seems to me the reason for this stalemate is that you have Republican members of Congress still insisting on big cuts to SNAP nutrition benefits as well as conservation programs. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like they're just going to keep stalling this until they feel like they can force enough Democrats to embrace these cuts, which Hans tells me this isn't going to get fixed anytime soon.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to be more hopeful about this, but they've got a proven track record, and it is unfortunate that this is sort of being held hostage the way it is. But there are farm state Republicans who are pushing back on that and want to get something done. So maybe there's reason to have a little bit of hope, but it would be nice for these folks to do their jobs.
Sure would. And that's where we bring Chris into the discussion here. Chris, tell us a little bit about Wisconsin Women in Conservation, and then we'll get into, the kinds of programs that, conceivably could be cut. We'll talk about the value that they bring. But tell us about the group first.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you know a little bit about what we are and what we do and where our funding comes from, because we're a project of USDA. So we are, in fact, a farm bill project. Policy, as you both know, is slow and subtle in a lot of cases. And a program like WEWIC, which was funded four years ago and was granted the funding 5 years ago, it benefits from that sort of very much under the surface conservation policy that was embedded in the last Farm Bill. And then we also benefited from the tremendous infusion of climate money that came in through the Inflation Reduction Act. So we, no one knows what's going to happen with anything, but this program is funded for at least another year. We are charged by USDA to reach out to women landowners, farmers, land managers, and people who have dreams of managing land, to connect them with USDA, to do education about conservation. And I think most importantly, to connect women to each other and to women conservation professionals that live in their region. So we do that through a number of mechanisms, but the main one is learning circles. We get together on women's farms, we get together at local businesses, and we talk about conservation, but the way we do it is unique. It's not really a classroom setting, although there are lots of experts and professionals in the room. It's a peer learning style, so there's a lot of sharing of stories, challenges, victories, dreams, ideas, and then hopefully those relationships continue beyond the project and everybody's kind of helping each other move on that conservation trajectory to doing more and more and more good on the land.
And I notice from the Wisconsin Women in Conservation website that you're already planning a conference for April 25th at Century World in Stevens Point, an educator network spring conference. And so, I mean, this is work you're already planning for well into the new year.
Yeah. So this will be our second conference, and the conferences aren't specifically for women. Oh, they are specifically for people who want to or who are already working with women. And women are a growing force on the landscape. Though women have always been part of farms, certainly have always been full partners in the farm project. Now women own a lot more land and are the primary operators on at least 35% of Wisconsin farms. So there's a lot of power there. And so we're trying to harness that and get more conservation done. And certainly we're trying to gobble up all of the conservation funding we can for people by getting them in to sign up for EQIP and CSP. I've got a big CSP project starting this year, Conservation Stewardship Program. We're gonna plant 500 trees and shrubs and renovate our pastures with warm season native grasses. So very exciting.
See, and all this is not just about, you know, conservation, which of course is a noble goal in and of itself, but also these kinds of things make the working lands more productive. I mean, it even every city kid knows about the Dust Bowl and how you can work productive land into unproductive means. So this is not some tree hugger do-gooder thing, Chris. There's a production component to Wisconsin agriculture, to these conservation programs, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, the different parties may disagree on conservation and how we get at it, but farmers of every political stripe agree that soil health is where it's at. There's new research, there's old indigenous knowledge, and we all agree now that soil health is the key to productivity. It's the key to sustainability. Without soil health, there's no fertility. And we can't infinitely deal with the pests, both bugs and plants, that plague our farms, and the invasives creeping in from, from potted plants, but also just from floods and birds pooping and animals moving around. So we've got a big job to take care of our soil. It's really food security. Investing in soil is investing in the future of all of our children. And so I do think we agree on that. We all agree on that at this point. We don't agree on how to fund it or how to get it done.
Hans, from the standpoint of why Republicans are going after the funding in these programs, now my theory is that it's sticker shock, that and unnecessarily so, that yeah, that's a great big dollar amount on a farm bill which covers so many things. And you hear them saying sometimes, well, we should break up the farm bill. There should be a part just for farmers or for farming, and a part just for nutrition programs, and a part just for conservation. Yeah, that might bring, you know, one big number down to some smaller numbers. But, I mean, there are reasons why all of this is interconnected in one package and has been for decades now.
Yeah, well, and I think it's a little bit of a cop-out because you got a bunch of politicians who can't manage to get things done. And so now it's the framework's fault when for decades before, you know, people managed to get in the room and get the work done. So, and there's reasons why these things are connected. And in terms of the dollar amount, I get a little frustrated there too, because it's the difference between understanding what is money spent and what is money invested. And when you talk about the stuff that Chris is talking about here in terms of conservation and education in conservation, where do those dollars end up? You know, that's the thing. Those dollars end up in farmers' pockets because they are able to take better care of the land. They are able to be better stewards of the soil, and as a result, get better financial results and do well for the environment at the same time. But guess who's left out of that equation sometimes, right? It's the extraction that we're used to dealing with. And so much of the farm bill, or at least so much of what politicians' mentality is wrapped around, is what's going to be best for JBS, what's going to be best for Cargill, what's going to be best for Walmart, and not thinking about what's going to be best for Chris Marion and Hans Breitenmoser at the farm gate.
That's right. And, you know, you mentioned the Farmers Union Convention. I'm a Farmers Union member as well. And in fact, the WeWIC program is a partnership between Wisconsin Farmers Union, Michael Fields Agricultural Institute, Renewing the Countryside, and Marble Seed. So it's a collaboration between ag agencies, ag advocacy groups that are trying to do better for the earth and for the farmers. And I think really telling was Austin Frerich, who just wrote Barons, which is a basically an expose of the lives and the rich and famous people who have corrupted our food system and have turned the farm bill into something other than what it originally was. He got a standing ovation from Wisconsin Farmers Union, as he always does. But he is great at he is great at explaining how it's the big players that benefit from the farm bill as it is.
Absolutely. And we can't forget another reason to keep pushing bipartisan cooperation on this is it wasn't that long ago. Well, okay, 40 years, I guess it was kind of sort of. But, you know, the first times that I started covering farm bill debates, it very much felt like Wisconsin, everybody was ganging up on Wisconsin in terms of, you know, dairy prices because, you know, New York farmers wanted their price at something. California was growing theirs and they wanted their prices. And it was always, it seemed, at the expense of Wisconsin, which was the center of the dairy pricing universe. And I'm not saying that there isn't still regionalism involved, Hans, but again, this works better when it's bipartisan and it's partnerships of rural and urban and red state and blue state. All the right paths forward are there if we could just get them off the wrong path. And I don't know if there's any one thing that we could tell folks other than to let their own member of Congress know to you know, get off the schneid.
Yeah, well, and it's like you said, all of these aforementioned people are impacted by the farm bill. It's just that a lot of people don't understand that they are impacted by the farm bill because they're not, it's not right in your face, but it's one of those big pieces of legislation that does have an impact on everybody. Where, you know, as long as you eat food or wear clothing or fuel your vehicle, you're impacted by this one way or the other. So yeah, I would encourage everybody to get a hold of their representative and tell them to get going.
And if you want to learn more about Wisconsin Women in Conservation, go to wiwic.org, wiwic.org. Chris Marion, Hans Breitenmoser, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Take care.
All right. Chad Holmes is coming up next on Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes will be along in just a moment here to talk about his show coming up on 98.9 WXCO, or you can listen to it through the Civic Media app as well. Just wanted to take care of some housekeeping here. First off, you have, about 7 more minutes or so to text in the keyword for this hour for the Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Carol, C-A-R-O-L. Carol, C-A-R-O-L. Is the word to text in, and you can get another chance to win during the 11 o'clock hour with Jane and Greg from Matinair on Air. Let's see, we also got a comment here from Tony on YouTube saying, if only we could get all the Yellowstone fans care about the farm bill. That is an excellent point, especially given the finale and outcome of it. You know, to get people to care more about the land and about the conservation would be pretty cool. That'd be kind of nice. Let's see. Let's get you as well a quick note about signing up for the newsletter. Sign up for that over at upnorthnewswi.com. It includes a 2025 bucket list for Wisconsin road trips with some of the state's most beautiful natural wonders. And one melancholy note here, you will note that flags will be at half staff throughout Wisconsin for the rest of the week. Governor Tony Evers has put forward that proclamation that flags will fly at half staff from now through Sunday to remember those who were killed and wounded in the school shooting that took place yesterday in Madison. From Courier Newsroom, there's also the Control-Alt-Right-Delete newsletter, a weekly newsletter devoted to covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. Melissa Ryan has recently written about billionaires being unleashed on America, and also a really good end-of-year reading list of 2024's best books to read or reread before Inauguration Day. Go to couriernewsroom.com and scroll down to the various newsletters, and you can get that one called Control-Alt-Right-Delete, with Melissa Ryan. Chad Holmes joins us on the phone now from up in Wausau, where he's getting set to do his program on 98.9 WXCO. Mr. Holmes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat.
Do you have the same browser problems as our last guest did as well?
Oh, no. I had to run to our old place because there was a little issue, and I was trying to get back as quickly as possible. I got caught behind a street sweeper for 5 miles per hour. And I actually just got back into the studio, and I actually pulled up the computer right now, and it's like,
I like this. Chad's real-time commute from the old station to the new one. And is there anything more Wisconsin than getting stuck behind a street sweeper or a Buick or a hay wagon, whatever the case may be?
It's just a wonderful way to start the morning, I'll tell you that.
Hey, small market radio, ain't nothing like it, man. We've told stories before. That's for darn sure. All right, hang up that phone. I'm gonna pop up your computer here.
Okay.
And there he is now. There we see ya. Boy, you look a little harried. Were you driving or something? You look like you're in a rush.
Yes. I've been under the weather the last 2 days too, so it's a wonderful start of the week.
Do I
sound okay? Because I'm not hooked into my board.
You sound fine. You sound good.
You're fine. Sherry mentioned last night. She said norovirus is really going around the country, and I said, "Yeah, I know," because we have what's called a Slack system for messages back and forth throughout the company across the country. And I'm seeing the little sick symbol, which is like a little emoji with a thermometer sticking out of its mouth, people calling in sick. And like, wait, the guy in North Carolina is out sick. The guy in Iowa is out sick today. The guy in Arizona is out sick today. It's basically everybody went to go visit folks for Thanksgiving. And here it is. It's just one big mess of norovirus all around the country right now.
And I'm always in either a gym or an ice arena, so I'm around everybody almost every night, and I'm talking all the time, and it's like, but hey, we're gonna fall through.
That's right. I am now officially afraid to go to the grocery store, which I was planning to do this morning. Which, if you'll forgive the rant, let me say one thing about the pandemic here. In the early phases of the pandemic, when we were all very frightened, understandably so, I said, you know, one of the things that might come out of this when it's all said and done is we'll do what we should have been doing for years. And that's during the winter cold and flu season, wear a mask when you go to the grocery store, when you go to, you know, any kind of thing with crowds in it. It's a great precaution. Stop mocking the people that we used to make fun of pre-pandemic going, oh, somebody's got a face mask on. I guess he's a germaphobe. No, that would have been a great thing to prevent all of these colds and flu and everything else. But because of the politics of the pandemic, I mean, there's some places you wouldn't even be allowed to walk in with a face mask these days. What a tragic turn for the way we handled the pandemic here.
I know, and it really is like, instead of learning a lesson, politics jumped in again, and you know, it makes you sad, to be honest with you. We aren't. It's, that's sort of been something that brought everybody together, and it was another instance here in the last decade that just tore us apart. And it's just, and frankly, that's one of the unanswered questions about as we move into the future is this the permanent normal where we're just going to be split apart like this, or is there going to be a point where enough is enough? And I that's one of the surprising aspects about what happened in November is that I had this sense that maybe we had got to the point where we're tired of that kind of politics and that kind of living. And unfortunately,
bring it on. We want more of it. You know?
It's like, instead of canceling that show, we've renewed it for another 4 years.
I know. Well, hey, four more seasons of this. Yeehaw.
We'll get it on DVD.
Yeah, for what's ever left of us. Yes. Chad will have much more on his program on 98.9 WXCO coming up.
Just started that.
I know. Here we go. Here we go. Thank you, Chad. Have a great day. Greg Bach is back for Matt and Air on Air coming up in 2 little hours from now.
That's right.
All right.
Another chance to win.
And Congressman Mark Pocan, one of the guests. Yep. So thanks to all of you for being part of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.